Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Good morning, church. You know, we're celebrating Black History Month. And so today I'll do a couple of Negro spirituals. For our young children, the Negro spirituals were prayers they were prayers of praise, and they were also prayers of messages, because in order to get messages across, they will sing songs that conveyed a message that would go across the savannah all the way up. I trust that you'll pray with me as I attempt to sing this song. Okay. I've been buked and I've been scorned. Oh, I've been buked and I've been scorned.
Soon now will be done with the troubles of the world. Troubles of the world. Troubles of the world. Sooner will be done with the troubles of the world. Going home to live with God. No more weeping and wailing. No more weeping and wailing. No more weeping and wailing. Going to live with God. Soon will be done with the troubles of the world. Troubles of the world, troubles of the world. Soon will be done with the troubles of the world. Going home to live with God. I want to meet my mother. I want to meet my mother. I want to meet my mother. Going to live with God. Soon will be done with the troubles of this world. Troubles of this world. Troubles of this world. Soon will be done with the troubles of this world. Going home to live with God. No more weeping and wailing. No more weeping and wailing. No more weeping and wailing. Going to live with God. I'm going home to live with God.
Now, Monica, when I tell my wife she's been replaced, I shall say it kindly. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Oh, my goodness. Well, I've come and the extension of this invitation by your pastor, and I appreciate it. My wife, on the first, usually, by our own family traditions, on the 1st of February, because we have a daughter born on the 3rd of February, and then we have anniversaries, all this stuff that happens. So there's about 5 or 6 family events, and then we just collect them all, and we kind of celebrate on the first Saturday night of February. And it got shifted to this. So the only one that slipped away from that family thing that we'll be doing today is me. But that's why she's not here. She sends her love. She's a very good and close companion of mine for now 37 years. Amen. Our Father and our Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Really, the bottom line is it's about you. Jesus had perfect will. And he said, not mine, but yours. So who are we that we should suggest that our will is above yours? No, Lord, not here. So we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to be all-inclusive. I don't know how long I'm going to take. Hopefully not very long. And then I'm going to say some things. And so before I do that, just in case I mess it all up, as can happen with human beings, there are two things I want you to leave here and remember. So I'm going to tell you what they are. One, Beverly Sheath, well, you don't have to remember that, but the Bible begins in English, in the beginning, three words, but in Hebrew it's one word, in the beginning, and it ends with amen. In the beginning, God, it ends with truth. In the beginning, God is the truth. Everything else in between is commentary. That's one. The second thing I want you to remember in light of what we're doing today, Black History Month, I want you to remember a couple of dates. They're not difficult to remember. 1444. Okay. 1444. 1444. And 1888. And if you subtract one from the other, you'll find that there's 444 years. But anyway, 1444, 1888. Those are the two things. In the beginning, God, truth. That's the word of God. And then for this Black History expression, 1444, 1888. Okay, now the rest of it, you can listen to, you can hear, you cannot hear, it's all right. You'll go away blessed, knowing that God is your sustenance from the very beginning, and he ain't lied to you. That's right. He's the truth. Oh, the title of this little work today is called, it's a question, and it's just a syndrome. Question, you know, a syndrome. And I would just like, just then by prefacing these few words, a syndrome is a pattern of behaviors that is brought about by specific circumstances. That's just the general technical term. Okay, it's just a pattern of behaviors. Now, syndrome is usually connected to something that is not so good, but it could be good. That's where we're going. A syndrome with a question. Now, when a woman got tired and a civil rights movement, as one little tired woman does not make. But then there was a meeting, and then there was some action, and then as time went on, 1955, 56, 57, 58, 59, a syndrome developed. I'm calling that particular syndrome PTLS. It was a praise the Lord syndrome. It was the what happens when you push the Lord, when you press the Lord. And they learned that the proper syndrome for that was prayer. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I was alive and well during the 50s and the 60s. And I was not part of that syndrome. For you see, I was a young, aggressive, might even say hostile young man. And the very idea of me kneeling down and praying when you throw a brick at me just did not fit. But I thank God. There were some individuals that were into the praise the Lord syndrome. They would hit their knees and they would pray. And the more they were pressured, the more they were persecuted, the more they were offended, murdered, lynched, they prayed the more. That's a movement worth participating in. There was a simultaneous movement going along in those days. It was one of those, whatever means necessary. It was a, you hit me, I hit you back. It was a, I don't give up in those kinds. Yeah. It was simultaneous. And that was the one I participated in. Yeah. But the Lord's will. The Lord's will is what we're going to talk about. He had to change some things in me. Some of us want to change God to fit us. But I'm here to say today that in this Black History celebration, I thank God that the one you and I serve still changes people. Hallelujah. Changes lives, changes attitudes, changes our syndrome from reactionary, vicious, and vengeance to a praise the Lord syndrome. But we have to get there sometimes. We have to try to get there. So I'm going to talk about a few things. First of all, and sometimes this doesn't make, I'm specifically talking about a group of Latinos and Latins. I'm talking about Mexicans and Mexican Americans. That piece, because that's a small piece of the whole Latin thing. Okay? And sometimes they get upset at me when I talk about Black history, because see, I have a big tent. I spread a big tent. And Mexicans and American Negroes were created on this soil. Yeah. Yeah. See? Mexicans don't, there ain't no Adam and Eve Mexicans. Okay? But when the conquistadors came here and they did their thing from Portugal and also from Spain, they didn't bring their women with them. And they had a whole lot of children. The women that birthed were the transplants of the African female in Latin America and the Native American, so-called Indian. And so you see, a Mexican is a brother. Somehow we've gotten co-opted, and the white man tries to do some very interesting and strange things and make it all these divisions. But I'm going to talk about God, and I'm going to talk about the scriptures. And so you understand, when I talk about us, my tent is big. Okay. There is an individual, Linnaeus. He's actually, you see, in the Bible, there is only one race, and that's the human race. See, some people get awfully confused, and they actually believe, you know, that there is the Latino race, and everybody, there ain't no race, no Latino race. Actually, Latino is just, they got it from Latin and because the Catholic Church did its services in Latin for hundreds of years. And so it was called Latin. And sometimes my Latin brothers forget that the Haitians are Latin too. They forget. They kind of leave them off, pretend they're not Latinos. But we serve a God that, remember, in the beginning, God, truth. You're not going to lie to you. Now, you may not agree with me, but I'm not getting ready to lie to you. You may not like me. That's all right. But I'm not going to lie to you. And so this man was born in about 1707. So he did his work, and he died in 1774, 1770, somewhere in there. And he created biological race. So you see, it's completely illogical. And what we have come to do in terms of history is that we take what is current and we go backwards. And so we start talking about the Hebrew race and this race and that race and read the Bible, and we talk about what races people are. There was no race when the scriptures were written other than the human race. So you and I have been terribly messed up because we use terms that don't exist except that men make them up. There's no black race. There's no white race. But all of us get ourselves all hung up and messed up because we've accepted the lie that has been fed to us. What Linnaeus did, his contribution to the world of biology is that he's the one that gave us all of the taxonomy of kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus. That was him. He did that. But then the fact that he was a scientist, and then he went a little too far, because then he decided he would create the white race. That's what he did. And a friend of his, Friedrich Blumenbach, he came up with the word. He was also lived. He died in early 1800s. He came up with the word, Caucasus, which is Caucasian. He just made it up. So there were no Caucasians before 1800. Nobody. The reason I know there wasn't, because the word didn't exist. He made it up. But you and I, when we come down, because you and I live in time and space, we begin to make some assumptions, and somebody lays a trip on us, and then we run around trying to make our place. Have mercy. Have mercy. So we got down home brothers. I remember in Oakland, that's a trip. They used to come up to me, you know, who you down with? Or those mixed up black Muslims with white folks where they, you know, devils, and just make it up. Make it up. But in the name of black history, we're going to try to unmake some of this stuff to you today.
All right.
You see, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Yeah.
Do you realize there are some things that God has put into play that would have spared maybe no one here, because no one here has been misled. But when I was young, did you know that there were individuals growing up. And one of the things that I had a problem with, I probably still have a problem with, is I just don't give a rip when you give me false information. I don't care. From when I was very small, I just didn't care. I just dismiss it. I don't want to live my life following you. So that caused a lot of problems in the neighborhood, in my family, and everywhere else that I went. But God has done something. It reminds me of some of the madness. You know, this is the, during our celebration of 150 years, 1863, that kind of thing, emancipation. And a document of emancipation that set some folks free, the New Hall, that's okay. But when that document was signed and became the almost law in the land, there were a whole bunch of enslaved people. I never used the term slave. They weren't slaves, they were human beings who were enslaved.
Okay.
So these enslaved people, there were a whole bunch of them that didn't get the word. And you know that masters weren't busy going around telling them either. You're free. You don't know it. A master who does know it won't tell you. I tell you, history, it's a monster. And I'm going to throw a little tidbit in here. It doesn't really fit, but I got to just say it. The last slave that I know of, I met in 1959. The problem was she was only 14 years old. Yep. In Mississippi, there was an individual who still had one of those old broken down plantations who had never set his slaves free. They had never heard a radio, never seen a television. They had never been to town, and he kept just a handful full of folks, and they were still enslaved in 1959 in Mississippi. And that's not a story that I heard from somewhere. My father was born and raised in Mississippi, and in 1959, some of the railroad folks, he worked on the railroad where 1 in 4 of black folks worked before World War II. But anyway, so he was a waiter on the railroad, and they knew he was from the Brookhaven, Jackson area of Mississippi, and there was this, they had found out that this man was still holding some slaves. And they got a hold of my father and asked him if he would be willing to put his life on the line to go and ferry them away. 1959. Boy, did that cause an argument in my household. My mama cussed my daddy. Oh, I shouldn't say that. They argued. She said, fool, if they catch you, they will lynch your behind. But my daddy was a little more liberated than my mom. Yeah. Now, the book I read, and everyone of you have heard about it. Some of you have refused to read it because somebody said whatever. But anyway, it's just Huckleberry Finn. I read it a long time ago. And with all the problems that were going on, it's in the book, so I mean, it's nicotine. And this is what so they're running away, and they're going through all these gyrations and trying to get away, and blah, blah, blah. So now we skip to the end of the book, and they have finally, Nicodemus gets, he puts his foot on dry ground, and he's in Ohio. He's in Ohio. Breathes deeply. See, now if all you've seen is Huckleberry Finn on Walt Disney movies, you don't get this part. Then he turns around and he heads right back down the Mississippi River. Huck has a fit. He is so mad at you. All he went through, what are you doing? He said, You see, if you were free, you don't go and close the door with your freedom. You will extend it to those you love. And Huck had a fit. He was going to turn Nigger Jim in because that made him an abolitionist. And he thought that that was terrible. But I'm talking from the black history end of the history. What are you doing with your freedom? If you think it's good enough to be free, to be safe, and sit in your house and watch TV, it is a abuse and misuse of your freedom. See, a person that's really free understands that freedom is so valuable that I'll give it up for someone I love. Remember, in the beginning, God. Truth. Jesus was already free. He's already in heaven. Already the angels crying holy every time they pray to him.
Yes.
He was already a superstar. Oh, they just love to be around. Already God. Already creator of the universe. Who made one race. The human race. So for those of you who think that God freed you so you can have a long life, you might want to read the book again. That's not the purpose. I mean, come on. Eternity. He's going to give you that. So what is God worried about if your days are 25, 50, or 15? Or 120. What is that? No. See, we do that from a human perspective and we mess up the will of God.
Mercy.
Mess it up. Martin Luther King said, no, longevity may have its place, but I'm not worried about that now.
Yes.
You see, freedom in the Bible sense, the God that set you free, the God that died for thee. The one that went up on Calvary's tree. He said, follow me. And it seems like there's not enough people who are willing to follow him. But let us talk about another syndrome. And then I'll be finished. We'll call it the post-traumatic slave syndrome. Dr. Goodrich wrote a book. It was kind of interesting. But in the scriptures, we Genesis. I don't have time to read all of this, so you just write that and go. In Genesis, the end of Genesis, it ends, and there is Joseph under 10. He's a great, great grandfather. He gets to see Manasseh's kids to the third generation, one of his twins. I mean, God had preserved him. He helped preserve his family's life. They lived well. He was in a good political and economic state. He was a steward, and oh my goodness, his brothers and sisters and cousins, they prospered. But his last prophecy was, God's going to come and get you. Then he died. They wrapped his bones up. But you see, sometimes a prophecy, what do you mean going to come and get me? I'm doing all right. In Egypt, they lived well. They lived in nice houses. They were fed. God made Abraham some promises. Made Abraham some promises about his seed and his children and blessing the world. But that little group got sidetracked and they became very comfortable where they were. But Joseph died. And if you keep on reading, then you get over and in Exodus 1, now we have the Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And he said, he looked at these folks. Then, according to Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, they were enslaved. Now, you know, it's one thing to think your country likes you and you're comfortable and you're not really worried about Canaan land anymore because you're living good. And then your country turns on you. Well, at least that's what the Bible says. That's what happened to him. Then everything started going all wild. Then Moses is born, and then he grows up, and he knows who he is. Now, if you watch Hollywood's version, you don't know who he is. But if you read in the book, he knows who he is. And he grows up, and according to the word, he saw some of those Egyptians persecuting his brothers. So I can handle that. He looks left, he looks right, kills that sucker. Post-traumatic slave syndrome. Hostility toward others. And you justify in your own mind your own violence. Keep reading. Then you find he comes back. I'm a hero. Except for the other Hebrews said, who are you? And who put you over us? They ratted the sucker out. Post-traumatic slave syndrome. You begin to depreciate your own self. The person you want to see hurt looks like you. Oh my goodness. You ever heard a young brother run around talking about, hey my nigga, how you doing? They're confused. Totally confused. And I go to work, function in San Francisco, so now the Filipinos running around talking about, hey, my nigga, and, you know, you have the Southeast Asians and the Samoans, and everybody's trying to be down and cool, and they're going to use a term that is so negative, so hostile, and so anti-life. Why? Because they're confused. Somebody has lied to them, and they swallowed the lie. I tell you, but it's already predicted. It's already shown. And then, so what happens? They turn Moses in, and then Moses becomes a fugitive. You know something? In American society, since we still play the race game, black people are fugitives. Innately evil. 12% of the population, 50% of the prison population. Something wrong with us. The system has a place for my son and your son and your grandson. That's if you buy the lie. And then you start doing self-inspection, you know? You start treating your own kids terribly because you're afraid of what would happen to them if they don't toe the line. So you don't question the system. You don't question the man. Somebody tells you, you need to tell your black son how to handle the police when they are harassing him. Yes, sir. Show him your lesson. Don't express it then. Because they got control and you don't. I only got one son. He never heard that speech come out of my mouth. No. I'd rather bury my son than have him abused with a smile on his face. But you see, I serve a different God than the other folks. So we keep going and we keep going. And then
the cry. Oh, the Lord hears the voice of the enslaved. Now they already kicked Moses out. They already didn't want to go back to Canaan land. But now this oppression is just so much that they're going, well, doggone it, we're going to pray to God.
And then God went and got the person that they kicked out
and said, go back and get my people.
Yeah.
And Moses said, he didn't want to do it.
He knew the reception. But that's the post-traumatic slave syndrome. After a while, you get so tired of black folks killing black folks. You get so tired of black females having baby after baby after baby that you begin to side with the oppressor and say there's something wrong with them, meaning me. Post-traumatic slave syndrome. And then when God touches you and blesses you, and you go and you get your degree and you, oh my goodness, and I'm going to get away from these people. Move away from that trouble. And somebody has convinced you that's the right thing to do. Because you know they have a problem. I tell you. Oppression will scare you, man. So then God goes, and then Moses goes, and there they are, and they come out, and the first thing that happens is Mara, they're out of water, and they're mad at Moses, they want to kill him, and they want to go back to Egypt.
You see, when times get tough, you think that the quote white race, now let me get back to them.
They got answers for me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Here it is. Oh, my goodness. So God is going to deal with his people. He's, no,
you're not going back. I'll bury you first.
Mercy.
All right.
You guys better read your scriptures again so you get the story right. See, some people serve a God, he won't do anything unless you're willing. The sovereign God of the universe is going to do what he decides to do.
That's right.
The day you can stop him is the day you're not God. You're not God anymore? I'm going to do it. And he did. You keep reading the story, put them, not one, well, Joshua and Caleb, two of them. Even put Moses out, too. You see, because God will not be trifled.
God is not going to succumb to your fear. He's not going to be blue-eyed and blonde on the road.
And I don't care how many pictures you got of him. You can't change it. In the beginning, God. And he is truth. Yeah. It seems that somewhere along the line, we got off base. And we got to this idea that,
I can remember. Oh, it was horrible. And I quit after it. Change of my personal experience. knew because we went to school together, so I knew. I always see mother who she was. And there's the other one. And they were standing up in front of the church. And the pastor was standing over here doing this, something like this. And then it was, they had to confess about being friends. In front of the church.
What?
You know what I'm saying? That's what I said. Then my head went up. And some people had some weird idea that that is what it meant to protect the name of Jesus Christ.
Mercy, Jesus.
Don't protect the name. Jesus has never needed you to protect him.
Come on, man.
You don't need to protect his name. You don't need to protect his person. You don't need to protect his church. You don't know. We need to start. You and I are broken. All the sin that comes short of the glory.
Yeah.
You and I are drunk.
Yes, sir.
The Holy One came in to do something about your sin problem and my sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it was going to take blood. And guess what? He didn't ask you to give your blood. Well, you can follow these parallels with, in my dates again, 1444, 1888. 1444, folks, that was the first time Africans were taken out of Africa by Europeans. They were Portuguese. They took them. 1888, along with Jones and Wagner. Church got on her case by right to the brothers. And then in 1888 was the end of slavery in the New World. 444 years. The Hebrews were in Egypt 435 years. So when individuals say, boy, black people need to just cut this black history stuff out, forget about it, get over that, and let's go on with life. Oh, no, 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 no.
Mercy.
The reason we don't know about who we are and the dates and times and what's going on with our own lives is because you and I aren't Jewish. Everybody in here knows that 6 million Jews. And that is serious, and it was a problem. But guess what? There were twice that many of you that died coming across the Middle Passage. But there's nobody reports it.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
And the fact that Jews own and run Hollywood, you're always going to get their story. Yeah? And that becomes significant and historical,
right,
and important. But your story.
You're just a bunch of criminals that go to jail.
Mercy.
Got a past. DNA wrong. Inferiority. Less. Third world. Yeah. Unintelligence. Lazy.
Oh,
I'm reading the classifications. When they first started on Alanis and Friedrich, they came up with Homo Americanus. I tell you, race is a monster. They are reddish, choleric, obstinate, and ruled by custom. Say, that's what Europeans had to say about that race. Made us a race. Made, you know. And then there was Homo Europeus. They're white, fickle, sanguine, blue-eyed, gentle, and ruled by laws. And then there's the Asian, Homo Asiaticus, sallow, dignified,
dignified, avaricious, and ruled by opinion. There's another race, folks. Here it goes. Homo Afer. Black, phlegmatic, Dr. Doolin, cunning, he was emphasizing that today, lazy, lustful, careless, governed by caprice. There goes your races, created and given to the world. Lord, have mercy on our soul. And we run around talking about our race. President Obama is a credit to our race. I'm just saying we need to just clean it up a little bit. He is a credit to our race. He's a credit to the human race. But don't allow somebody to lie to you, and then you carry their bucket for the rest of your life. Life is too important, too short. And I conclude with the following. So if you write my book, this is all part of a book I'm writing. So if you write it first, I won't even get mad at you. Galatians, and I read. As we're looking at post-traumatic slave syndrome. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm reading for the New International Version. You, my brothers, and if I put it in the holistic language, I'd have to say you, my brothers and sisters, but it didn't say that. You, my brother, were called to be free. That sounds good. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. There is a proper use of freedom. There's an illogical, evil use of freedom also. Rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in the single command, love your neighbors as yourself. If you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out. Or you will be destroyed by each other.
Mercy.
Post-traumatic slave syndrome. We saw it manifested in the wilderness. They destroyed each other. Thousands died as they bickered against Moses. And they the Egyptians were gone. The enemy wasn't. And for 40 years, they were in bitter struggles. Freedom allows you to know who your enemy is. Truth will allow you to know who your enemy is. And your mama, your brother, your sister, your cousin, and your neighbor are not your enemy. Be black, my brothers and sisters. Be godly. We pray now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. For deliverance, in the beginning, God, and he sure won't lie to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.